So you start getting, you start exploring this idea about how casein in milk might trigger or become a factor in the causation of cancer. How does that work? I mean, what's the, what is it that you see as being the early indicators that one is having an effect on the other?
Well, we started, I mean, as I said, these are very basic experimental studies.
Sure.
We could test to see how fast early cancer cells developed in these experimental animals. We could do that through histological means, taking sections of liver, for example. We could look at biochemical kinds of things. We could see how enzymes changed, enzymes that were related to the metabolism of a chemical carcinogen was given. We could look at the rates at which cells divided. We could look at sort of immune responses, these kinds of things. I mean, it was all quite biochemical, and I should point out that all of that research really was funded by public taxpayer money through the National Institutes of Health, with some money from the American Cancer Society and the American Institute for Cancer Research. So it was all public money, and it got funded. I mean, I was we got really generous amounts of funding through the years.
Right. That makes it easier for you. But I mean, what is it that happens to? Is there, you said something is triggered or something turns on this possibility of getting cancer while having consumed milk?
Well. Again, let's talk about casein at this early stage. Casein being the main protein of cow's milk, of course. You know, as the animals are fed regular levels of so-called casein, or so-called regular levels of casein, compared to much lower levels or no levels and then replaced by plant protein, the casein essentially turned on the biochemical activities that allowed, encouraged, and promoted the development of these early cancer cells. And we had ways of looking at these early cancer cells, as I said. We call them foci, for those who might be familiar with this idea. Then later we looked at, you know, the effect of casein feeding upon the full lifetime development of cancer in these experimental animals. And the results were absolutely staggering. They were dramatic. We could, in fact, intervene during the development of this cancer from its very early stages, you know, on to the end stage, we could intervene with, let's say, lower levels of casein intake or, in fact, replacing the casein entirely with plant proteins like soy protein or wheat protein, and we could turn it off.
And you could turn it off?
Yes, we could turn off these tumor cells. And so, I mean, I'm not talking about small changes. I'm talking about really big changes. And I also should say, too, that this idea didn't come out of just out of the thin air. It really came about because of my work in the Philippines during the 1960s and 1970s when I was coordinator and helping to coordinate a nationwide program of feeding malnourished children.
So you're coordinating a program for malnourished kids in the Philippines, and we would think, I mean, just looking at, you know, TV commercials about projects like that, that would be the one of the first things that they would give kids who are malnourished would be to give them milk.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I had been cultured, if you will, in, both personally and professionally, in the early part of my career, as virtually everyone else is, that protein is a very important nutrient. And it is. I mean, we do need protein. There's no question about that. And especially we need high-quality protein, so it is said. That means animal-based protein. So when I was involved in the Philippines, one of the main things that we wanted to do there, as many of my colleagues wanted to do in countries like that, was to make sure that these kids who were so malnourished got more protein. And the assumption was always made they didn't have enough protein. And sure enough, they didn't in many instances. But that wasn't the main thing. It turned out in the Philippines that I ran across this idea that the children who were getting the most protein, the levels that more or less we consume in this country, were coming from families that were eating like us. They were the ones that's most likely to get the cancers.
Well, how could you tell that they were the ones most likely to get the cancers? I mean, you're there to, you know, help stop starvation amongst these kids. How long were you there? How much of this could you have observed that said these families that were eating like us were the ones getting the cancers?
Well, I was working there for a period of about 10 years.
Okay.
And it just was a kind of a happenstance kind of awareness, I suppose. I was playing golf one day on the golf course with the medical advisor to the president of the Philippines, who told me, and he was a surgeon, he told me that he and his colleagues had been operating on children for liver cancer. I thought it was kind of odd. I mean, for children to get liver cancer was certainly an unusual thing, because liver cancer tends to occur in older age people. And so I just happened to be nosing around, and I had an interest in liver cancer in particular at that time. And so I just started asking around and looking at some data, and came to believe that the children most likely to get the liver cancer were coming, as I said, from the families that were consuming the most protein, and particularly animal-based protein. And of course, that was exactly the opposite of what one would have expected to find in those days. And then about that time, just to confirm that observation, there was a report that came out of India among some researchers who were testing the effect of protein on the development of liver cancer in experimental animals. And they showed really unequivocally that animals given higher levels of protein, and they were using casein,
right,
that these animals were the ones that got the liver cancer after being exposed to a chemical carcinogen, compared to the animals that got much lower levels of protein. Again, it was a really dramatic difference. It wasn't a small difference. This is a huge difference between those getting, let's say, the higher levels of casein, which amounted to 20% of total calories, compared to the animals getting 5%, which was of the total calories.